Good morning. We talked last week about God loving you. God loves you, I think was the title, and we talked about the scripture along those lines. And that is a wonderful thing to grab a hold of, no matter what the circumstances are. The very fact that God loves you so much that He's already proved it, He's already showed it to you. He's already demonstrated His love. One of the verses we read, so that God demonstrated His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But then the other part is, are we loving God? It's great that God loves us, but are we loving God? See, Matthew 7, beginning with verse 21, Jesus is talking. And He says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" And I talk about this scripture fairly often because when you go into "these signs shall follow them that believe," these people are believers by definition. The scripture says, "These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. They will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them." It talks about some miraculous things that follow those who are believers in God. Believers in Jesus. And Jesus says that many will say to me in that day, verse 22, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" So obviously from this scripture, believing in Jesus and following Jesus are not the same thing. It's not the same. Remember reading over in Acts how seven sons of one man named Sceva, who was a Jew, decided to take it upon themselves to cast out demons in the name of the Jesus that Paul preached about. They believed that Jesus had the authority to do it, but they didn't follow Jesus. You know the story, right? Everybody nodding their heads. Everybody knows the story. For those of you on the tape that can't nod your head, or that are nodding your head but I can't see it, as they tried to cast out demons out of this one man, the demon in him said, "Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you?" And proceeded to whoop them, as we say down south, to the part where he chased them away, scripture says, naked and bleeding. They got whooped. So knowing about God, believing that Jesus is the Son of God, but not letting Him change their life is not going to meet the criteria, shall we say. Many will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?" And then I will declare to them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." Interesting scripture. Jesus just lays it right out there. Now, Matthew 7, you know, this is right like at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. So He's got all the people around and He's talking with them. But if we go into First John, chapter 5, beginning with verse 1, says, "Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves Him who begot also loves Him who is begotten of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For in this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" Obviously, this level of belief that John is talking about here is a little bit different than "these signs shall follow them that believe." Because here they're talking about people that have actually had their hearts and lives changed. We know Verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. Kind of interesting that the evidence of loving God is keeping His commandments. The evidence of loving God is desiring to serve Him and do what He's called us to do. There's a Jesus was talking at one point. He talked about two brothers. And the one brother, the father told him to do something, and the brother said, "Yes, Daddy, I'll do it," and didn't. And the other brother, father told him to do something, and he said, "No, I won't," but then repented and went back and did it. And he said, now which one did the will of the father? Obviously, the one who actually did what the father wanted him to do. Even though that was that bit of rebellion, there was that bit of showing out, he still came around and did what the Lord had said to do. That it tells us here in 1 John, tells us in a couple of other places we're going to look at, that loving God is demonstrated by keeping the Lord's commandments. So, let's go. In fact, let's go to Deuteronomy. Now, in many places in Deuteronomy, these are tied together. But I'm just going to read the one passage in Deuteronomy 30. The end of the book, that final summarization is as Moses is talking to the people. Deuteronomy 30, beginning with verse 15, says, "See, I have set before you today life and good and death and evil. In that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways and to keep His commandments, His statutes, His judgment, that you may live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear, and are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you will surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you crossed over Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey His voice, and that you cling to Him. For He is your life and the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them." In Deuteronomy, Moses is tying together loving God and obeying what God says to do. Now, we know as from Jesus talking to the scribes and Pharisees, and even John talking to scribes and Pharisees, John the Baptist, that there were people who were doing what the law said, but they weren't loving God in their heart. Because if they were loving God in their heart, they would be loving the people around them. That's what it tells us in 1 John. That there's a difference between just following the rules because these are the rules and that's the way you do things, and desiring to serve the Lord and to seek His face and to get to know Him and do the things that He's called us to do. Do the things that He's told us to do. There's a huge difference there. There's a difference in attitude. There's a difference in the way it transforms our life. There's a difference in what comes out of our heart as we are seeking to serve God and do what God called us to do because we love God, or we're seeking to do what God called us to do because, you know, that hammer looks pretty heavy. If I don't do that, then He'll get me. How many people have you talked to and you invite them to church? They said, "I can't go in there. The roof will fall in." I mean, besides Jerry, because it's happened to him. But, or lightning will strike. I tell people all the time, if it didn't strike me, you're probably all set. You know, we serve a loving, merciful God who doesn't wink at sin, but has made for forgiveness for sin. That loving God because He has loved us. Loving God because He continues to touch and change our lives. Loving God because He makes provision in the most unforeseen manners. Right, Jerry? God opens a door and provides blessings in ways that, you know, just completely boggle the mind. How in the world did the God who knows the end from the beginning sets things in place? Part of Rich's testimony, and I he said it from this pulpit, so I don't think he'll mind me repeating it, is early on when him and Robin were dating, long before they got married, that he was a broke college student and praying to the Lord one day and said, "Lord, I don't even have money to take her out." And he said, "I felt like God told me to go buy a lottery ticket." And I've never bought a lottery ticket in my life, but I felt like God told me to go buy a lottery ticket. So I'm like, okay. So he went and did as he felt the Lord was leading him, got a lottery ticket, scratched it, it was $100. He said, "That's the only time I've ever bought a lottery ticket in my life. I didn't want it to become a habit. I didn't want it, but God used that right there to open that door, that time, to answer a prayer." How is God going to answer prayers in our life? Don't know, do we? But we know He's going to. God answers prayers. God guides and directs us. And part of getting to know God and showing our love for God is doing the things that we know He's called us to do. John 14, beginning with verse 15, says, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, and the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be with you. I will not leave you orphans, but will come to you. A little longer, a little while longer, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Notice, as we're going through, we're reading the scripture, and we read about loving God and keeping His commandments, there's always a benefit. As we love God and we keep His commandments, there is a benefit. Jesus just said, "If you love me and keep my commandments, I will send the Holy Spirit. I'll send the Comforter." In Deuteronomy, it says, if you love God and keep His commandments, God will give you long life and blessing in the land that you go to. He said, but if you don't, there will also be a curse on you. That's, now granted, the Old Testament has a lot of things that make people nervous these days. The Old Testament, there wasn't a whole lot of grace. There was some grace, but there certainly wasn't grace like we have and like we see today. Because the tender mercies of the Lord has made the way, has opened the windows of heaven, has poured out the blessing, has provided the sacrifice for our sin. And the scripture says that it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Compare that in the New Testament with some of the things you see in the Old Testament. If a child is disobedient, take him out and stone him. That's in scripture. I don't recommend doing it, because praise God, God had a little bit more mercy in my life that He didn't take me out and have me stoned. And maybe He wants to work in that person who's disobedient. Remember the reference I gave about Jesus talking about the two brothers? What if the brother who, as the father says, "Son, go do something," and he says, "I'm not going to do it," and was taken out and stoned, would it have ever gotten done? Because the other brother said, "Yes, Dad, I want to go take care of it," and never did. God has grace and mercy because He knows the end from the beginning. He is at work in us. But we are called and we are expected to draw near to the Lord and just demonstrate that we love Him by our lives. Demonstrate that we love Him by the fact that we are keeping His commandments. We are doing the things He's called us to do. That we are walking in obedience with what God has said. Final passage, 1 John 4, beginning with verse 7. This will sound familiar, because we read it last week. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this is the love of God, In this, the love of God was manifest toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him, and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior to the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. John, in this book, 1 John, tells us continually that a demonstration of the love of God in us is that we love our brothers and sisters. We love the people around us. We love those that are born of God. Part of loving God and keeping His commandments, remember the two, what Jesus says were the two primary commandments, the two commandments that all the other commandments hang on to. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Those two commandments, both of which having to do with love, demonstrates not only that God has touched us, that God has changed us, that God has poured His love abroad in our hearts, but that our lives are changed to touch and love the people around us. To show God's love to the people who desperately need it, those who haven't seen it, those who, as you hear from time to time, we may be the only Bible they ever read, we may be the only Jesus they ever see. We are to demonstrate the love of God that is part of our being obedient to God. As God loved us, the question we ask today is, are we loving God? Are we acting in such a way that we are not only loving the Father by obeying Him and keeping His commandments, but we are also showing His love to the people that He also loves? Not going to have the projector flip back there, but the second passage of Scripture we read was also 1 John, but it was out chapter 5, verse 1 John 5 verse 1 says, "Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves Him who begot also loves Him who is begotten of Him." Recognizing that as we love God, as we love the Father, we love His children. And that's demonstrated in our lives. Are you loving God? Am I loving God? Is each and every one of us, are we loving God? Are we demonstrating that God has touched not just our mind, but our hearts? Do we do the things God called us to do because, well, you know, that's what's on my agenda for today? Or do we do it because I want to get to know God better? I want to show God's love. I want to be involved in God touching people's hearts and people's lives. I want God to get the glory in my life because He loved me so much. He changed me from who I was. He got a hold of me when I was in the midst of all kinds of darkness. And He changed my life and turned my life around. And because of what He has done in my life, because He met me at the point of my need and changed me where I was, it has changed in such a way that my desire is to demonstrate the love of God by how I treat other people. We can't... Scripture says that God will not be a debtor to any person. Scripture says in another place, "He who gives to the poor lends to the Lord, and the Lord will repay." Scripture talks in all through there. Jesus, in the parable of the sheep and goats, says, "Inasmuch as you've done this to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me." You know, we can't impress God with our gifts. You know, bringing it into a church or wherever. We can't impress God because God knows our hearts and knows everything about us. But when we show God's love to other people, when we reach out to try and meet somebody else's need, when we try to show God's grace and God's mercy in loving that unlovable person or being kind to that person that hasn't had a smile in years or whatever the situation is, just declaring that God has changed us and continue to work in us, then others get to see God working through us. We may never see this side of heaven the effect that we have. You have that Ray Bolt song, "Thank You for Giving to the Lord," and we've talked about that before, how the things that we do are actually laying up treasures in heaven. And that's not... if that's our purpose, I don't know how God sees that. I don't see that, you know, I'm doing good to this person just because, by golly, God's going to take care of it. I don't think so. But if it is in our heart that because God has loved us, God has touched us, God has changed us, God has shown His mercy to us, it is in our heart to be merciful. It is in our heart to be loving. It is in our heart to reach out to those in need because of what, of gratitude for what God has done. God honors that. Are you loving God? Are we demonstrating God's love to the people around us? Everyone who loves Him who begot, meaning everyone who loves Him who brought us into this, who is our Father, also loves Him who is begotten by Him. John says there's another place, anyone who says he loves the Father and hates his brother is a liar and the truth is not in him. John had some straightforward things to say to people. Our lives, since we are bought with a price, since we are not ourselves, not our own anymore, we are called to show God's love to everyone we encounter. Show God's love to everyone we meet. And there's no quick formula. There's no, you have to do this, 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 and this. But it's, if our heart is set to please God and to seek His face and to keep His commandments and to show His love to the people around us, God will provide opportunities and open doors and make the way and give us the wisdom and the understanding of how to touch, how to meet a need, how to reach out, how to be a blessing, how to show people that God loves them. So praise the Lord. Are we loving God? Let's demonstrate it in our lives. Let's demonstrate it in our hearts. Let's demonstrate it in our actions. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word. Knowing, Father, that You are the one who touches and changes us. You are the one who guides us. And Lord, that You have met us in our worst spot. You have shown Yourself mighty in our lives in so many different ways. You have shown Your love to us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And Lord, we do love You. So Father, as we show that love by showing Your love to other people, we show that love by keeping Your commandments, loving You with our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and loving our neighbor as ourselves. As we demonstrate that love, we thank You, Father, for the opportunities, the people that You'll put in our path, the situations that arise, where we can demonstrate Your love to somebody else's life, that they might come to know You, that they may know that there's a God in heaven that hasn't abandoned them, but is continuing to reach out to them, that hearts and lives be touched, that You be glorified. So, Father, we do give You the praise, and we give You all thanks for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.